All right, we'll get back to your Draymond calls in a second. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lauda, what do you got?
All right, before I do my what you need to know, I want to give a shout out to my sister who also had her baby yesterday, a month early, but the baby is healthy. And I told my sister, stop having kids because that's her number six.
Number six?
Yep.
What's the oldest?
17. 16.
Wow. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, she's
like, I was like, girl, you got to shut the factory down. But that's a whole nother question. That's a whole nother
factory.
Yeah, she does. But again, I deviated. Anyways, so this show has celebrated a few graduations in the past few weeks, right? Cap's daughter just graduated high school. Well, I wanted to shine a light on this high school senior whose pictures went viral. I don't know if you guys saw that Corey Patrick, a senior in Birmingham, Alabama, was photographed by a bus driver because this gentleman has been waking up at 4:30 in the morning to commute to his high school every day. And he did that for one last time. He commuted to his high school graduation. He was alone in a cap and gown, and the bus driver asked him, like, hey, why are you dressed like that? He goes, well, I'm going to my graduation. He snapped a few pictures, and they went viral. The young man has now received an SUV, has a GoFundMe right now that was created by him that has raised about $11,000 and has received a full scholarship to Jacksonville University. He said that he just had to do what he had to do to make sure he graduated and walked to make his family proud. I thought that was really cool.
That is pretty in the morning, cool. And you're telling he's taking like a bus, not like a school bus. He's taking
city bus.
Yeah, whoa.
City bus. And I complained about being home.
He'll be one of those guys eventually that can say, like, legitimately say, back in my day, I had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I had to take the city commuter bus.
Yeah,
it took me 2 hours to get to school.
It did. It took him over an hour actually.
Cool story. I believe it. All right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. All right, real quick, let's go to, who do we go to first, Lindsay? You tell me.
Let's go to Ted in Fullerton.
Ted is in Fullerton. Hello, Theodore.
Hey, how's it going?
Teddy?
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the Kobe Bryant, or the Draymond thing. Do you think Kobe Bryant's going and doing a ball podcast that he gets done? He's going to play like he was? Heck no, he's at high school. Shooting shots till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, you tell him.
But
not everybody is Kobe Bryant. Like, they don't have to be. And by the way, Kobe Bryant didn't win every finals he played in either. Like, so what does that mean?
That's
like,
true. He didn't win every finals, but he sure did try his best to.
Okay, why is it you're saying that just because Draymond is podcasting from his hotel that he's not trying his best? Like, no, Ted, I asked you a question. I want you to answer it. Why is it that you're making this ridiculous correlation between Draymond Green doing a podcast in his hotel room in Boston, okay, to not caring about what the outcome of a game is?
Because it seems like every time he plays, he's not giving his 100%, I don't think.
You don't? Why do you not think that?
Because he could be doing better. He's just not.
No, or he could just be getting old and not played by a younger, more athletic version of him.
That could be a possibility, but... Hey, everybody gets old, and they still play as best they can.
Okay, so in game two, hold on. He did the podcast before game two, too. And what happened there? He was awesome in that game.
You think so? He had 5 fouls. He's almost fouled out.
So what? He completely controlled the game. Those guys talked about it. He was in their head.
He did it before the game. He didn't do it after the game.
What? Wait, you could make the argument that if he was doing the podcast before the game, that he was concentrating even less on preparing
Correct.
For the game, actually.
Yes. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
But Ted.
Do you think he's capable of doing both?
Do I think what?
You think he's capable of doing both?
Yes.
And still play as good as he can be. I just don't think he's playing as good as he can be.
I just think he's getting old, is what you're seeing before your eyes. And that happens.
But Ted, this opinion that you have, that George pressed you on about what do you see, what do you know, etc. Listen, here's a guy like Isaiah Thomas. We would probably respect his opinion when it comes to NBA basketball.
Right.
And Isaiah Thomas believes, just as you do, Ted, that the podcast is creating a lack of concentration.
So I would ask Isaiah Thomas, what happened to Dennis Rodman when he would go rogue on you in the middle of a playoff series?
Dennis Rodman still performed every night.
Oh, but did he? I mean, I can go back and find out.
Every night. 15 to 20 rebounds every time he plays.
I can go back and find. Yeah, but Dennis Rodman didn't have the responsibility of running an offense. Okay, like let's not be ridiculous here. They're not even. That's not even an apples to apples comparison. However, I brought him up because they're the same kind of personality, not the same kind of player.
Well, when Dennis Rodman showed up, he played and he got what he did his job.
Right, and I bet you,
Draymond's not doing his job.
You tell him, Ted.
You're right. He's not doing his job. You're right, Ted. Don't worry about it. You're right, okay?
I'm not trying to be right. I'm just saying I don't feel he's doing his job 100%.
I'm going to go to your job. Huh? What do you do,
Ted? What do you do for a living, Ted?
I do project management for a sign company.
Project manager or sign company? Is every sign up and up and right and, you know, make sure that...
It's not up in time. Then it's supposed to be up in time. Sometimes there's issues because I don't control every aspect.
But wait, if there's issues, wait a second, you know?
Well, hold on a second. Ted, do you have a podcast?
No, I don't.
Okay, so by not having a podcast, you're probably concentrating
more. But there's still issues even though he doesn't have a podcast.
Right, but by not having a podcast, the man can do his job.
That I should be thinking of. I don't know. Do you think Draymond's thinking of, man, I wish I would have made that shot, or what could I be doing better?
Do you honestly in your heart of hearts believe that Draymond Green doesn't care about his play? Like, are you honestly trying to say that?
I don't
like with a straight
I'm not
face.
Trying to say that, okay? I just don't think that he cares as much as he should be. Like a few years ago when they were winning the championship, his attitude was much different than it is now.
The only
difference is he's 32 going on 33 years old. That's the difference. And he's played 100 million games as a 6'7" center. That's the difference.
It was only 3 or 4 years ago when he was there.
What?
I don't know if that's the big difference. 3 or 4 years ago is not that big of a difference, you know?
Are you serious?
28 to 33 or 32?
I have a drop for Ted.
He's 32 years old. He's about to be 33 years old. And he's been playing minutes as an undersized center for a decade, basically. You don't think that has anything to do with it? No? None?
Come on, Ted. He's just not focused because of the podcast. Don't give up on your argument, man.
He's in his prime age, and he should be playing as good as he was 3 or 4 years ago.
But he's not.
Let me ask you a question.
That's
how old are you, Ted?
That's a contradictory statement in itself.
I'm 50.
Oh. You're 50?
Yeah.
Still kicking ass, too,
El Chacal.
Right?
I like that. I like that, Laura. El Chacal. Do you know who El Chacal is?
No.
No. Did you ever watch Sábado Gigante?
No.
It's a good show, man. Really good.
Is it?
All right. Let me ask you this. You said you're 50. You said you're 50, right?
Yeah.
When you were 35 or 40, didn't you feel different?
I was playing baseball. I was playing softball. Slow pitch softball. And
right.
I'll tell you what, when I was doing just
right.
This day,
No. But wait. But you're playing softball in a beer league, okay? Not playing against professionals, okay? But could you? No.
We competed in tournaments and we were winning all the
okay.
time.
Damn regardless, right. You're not playing as a professional.
Semi-pro is what it was. Semi-pro.
You're not playing as a professional. So let me ask you. So again, could you do that right now with the same level of competitiveness?
Tell him you can, Ted. Come on.
So that was 15. Yes, I mean I can still hit the ball. I could.
not like you did when you were 10 years ago.
How do you know? I think I could.
Okay. Well, I'm fairly certain.
I haven't played in a while, so it'll take me a minute to warm up.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
Get yourself back into shape, Teddy.
Yeah.
If I was playing every day like Draymond plays,
Ted, I'll just believe in just like biology, that generally speaking, as you age, you're not going to get better.
You do, but he's in his prime still.
He's not in his prime. No, he's not.
You don't think 32 is prime?
No.
You just said that he should be playing as well as he played 4 years ago. That would be his prime,
right? What do you think the prime ages are then?
When guys are coming into the NBA at 21 and, you know, he came in at 21 years old.
Okay, so when do you think his prime was?
So his prime is like his late 20s, right? His mid to late 20s. That's his prime.
Late 20s to early 30s. That's your prime.
Yeah, so he's outside of his prime now.
He's 32. He's in early 30s.
Okay, bye, Ted. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Good call, Ted. Good call.
Ted is just one giant ball of contradiction.
I think it was a good
call. No, he's right. He's right, too. He's right.
See? Tell him, George.
Yeah, he's right.
It's a nice call.
I'm going to need
a lot of engagement. A lot of engagement to that
alcohol
call.
Alcohol coming soon, man. Alcohol coming soon.
For sure, hazard pay today.
oh, my God. What are these callers doing to you today?
Hazard pay.
It just so happens that I agree with most of the callers.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, this is, you know, listen, get in the gym, man. You got done with the
game.
By
the way, Dennis Rodman, here's an interesting stat line for you. You ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
3 points, 0 rebounds in a game 7 against the Boston Celtics.
Who
in
won?
The Eastern Conference Finals.
Who won the game?
The Boston Celtics.
See that? See that? That proved your point right there.
Okay, and I'm sure I can find more of those.
Come on, where is everybody now? Where is everybody that forgot about that game where Dennis Rodman scored only 3 points in Game 7 against the Celtics? And
here's another one. And no rebounds, right?
No rebounds, zero.
Arguably the greatest rebounder in history of sport. Here's another one against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah?
Okay?
Which one?
Game 3 of the mm-hmm. Eastern Conference Finals in 1989. They won the championship that year.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
4 points, 1 board.
Oh, wow.
So, like, don't give me that Dennis Rodman had double-digit rebounds every single game.
No, Dennis Rodman had 20 rebounds every single game he ever played in, George.
You're right. That's true.
Well, I mean, that's just all these years later, that's the legend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, people don't go back and research. So, when Draymond Green has a really bad game, and here comes Isaiah Thomas telling the whole world he's not concentrating, he's lost focus. And the reason he's lost focus is because he's more interested in his podcast. The accusation is, while he's on the floor and the team is down by 14 points, he's thinking about what he's going to say on his podcast
game. Yeah, yeah. He's thinking about, like, what his content's going to be.
Right. Like, you know what? We're down 14. Doesn't look like we're going to win this game. I got to start thinking about tonight's podcast. Yeah. I mean, what am I going to talk about? Do I have things planned? Do I have things prepared? I mean, geez, I got a lot of pressure on me tonight. You know, this game's over. I might as well start thinking about the podcast.
All right, let's go to Mike in Irvine. I want to talk to Mike in Irvine instead.
All right. Hey, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey.
It's tight.
So this guy is a guy that has a net worth of, what, $70 million, making $25 million or so a year. I think that what he has is a little bit of what Anthony Davis has. He's a little bit lazy and out of shape. I think he's just in shape to obviously play in the NBA and the finals, but I think that Draymond Green, if he got his butt in the gym and got in shape, he would be amazing. And watch him next year. I think it's his last year for the contract. Watch what he does, and he'll be much better. And I think that's how we'll know his character. But I think if you pay me a fraction of what he's getting paid, you can call me all those names. And you know, I wouldn't mind. And so it's like, what are we talking about here? Are we that soft? Look at Jensen when he ended up in therapy, when the Dodger fans, he got on his butt for blowing all those games.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say to you, Mike. I'm sure saying that now sounds funny. But when in today's day and age, okay, when we live in a 24-hour news cycle, okay, and we live in a world of social media, and these guys are all connected on their phones, in a way that you sound like to me, and I'm not trying to age you, but you sound like someone who's been around, right? Who's pretty mature, is what I would say. Is that fair?
Yeah.
How about old?
Thank you. Yep.
No, I don't want to call old. I call you old.
No, I know. Well, that's okay. But I mean, listen, I'm just cutting through the nonsense.
49 old.
49?
Okay. Yeah. So you grew up in a different time is what I would say, okay? But if I everyone wants to have the life of these people until they realize what the life of these people sometimes entails, and it's not always as fun as you think it is.
No, you're right, absolutely. But do you guys think that Draymond could be in much better physical shape, though? Like, honestly?
Shape is the problem. I just think he's now long. He's like a half step slower than he used to be. And a half step slower when Robert Williams is even on one, even though he's somewhat hurt. Like, that guy is like he's a pogo stick. You know what I mean? Like, that guy's got bounce for days. Like, he can bounce twice before Draymond can bounce once at this stage of his career. Like, it's very noticeable. Like, it's not a small thing.
And so, yeah, very good point. But then do you think that if Draymond Green worked extra hard and put in the extra hours at...
No, I don't think that the extra... I think what Draymond Green needs to do... You know what? I'll tell you on the other side. I got
to
run.
Good job, Mike, though. Way to keep coming back at it, though, Mike. Way to not give up on your argument. Good job, Mike.
He wasn't arguing.
No, but he didn't want to give up on it. He was like, but don't you?
But I'll tell you what Draymond Green, because you got to remember what kind of player he is. This isn't the dude that's going to go out there and get you 30. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, you know, I mean, he did do that in that Game 7 against the Cavs that one time and almost won the MVP. But it's not the norm, is my point. But, like, sorry, Lindsay. But the I'm going to explain what you need exactly from Draymond Green on the other side. We'll do that next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, is there a Cyndi Lauper anniversary?
This song is.
Oh, was this a number one hit today or something?
Yes, 1984.
1984?
Mm-hmm. I was, at this date in 1984, I was 6 years old.
I wasn't even born yet.
I wasn't born yet.
I was 14. God, how did I become the old guy?
I mean, fairly easy.
Kind of
I know,
there.
But yeah. Sucks, man. I'm telling you guys.
Yeah. Seriously. I do remember the song being a huge hit.
I only know this song from Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, which is a great movie. Love
which
that movie.
From what year?
Oh, that was probably from like 96,
97. Yeah,
right.
90s.
So 10 years past. In the meantime, we talked a lot about Prince earlier in the week and, you know, kind of that era, the 1984 time. And yeah, Cyndi Lauper was... I mean, she was a big, giant radio star and video star right in that same era.
Yeah, huge, monstrous.
But girls just want to have fun. Then this song, there were maybe three or four or five, right?
Yeah, she had a number of hits. Back to back. Girls Want to Have Fun was cool because Captain Lou Albano was in the video.
Captain
Lou
was one of my favorite wrestling managers because of the little like the rubber band earring in his cheek.
Yeah.
Captain Lou.
She was great in WWF at the time.
Yes, she was. She wrestled. Yeah, in WWF at the time. Yes.
Wow, man, we put a lot together. You know, like wrestling, pop music, history, a lot going on right there.
Yeah. So let me tell you something about Draymond real quick.
Go ahead and tell us.
Because here's the thing: everyone's like out here, like you know. Not everyone, but some of these callers are out here like acting like Draymond's going to go out here and give you like 18 and 10 and like 7. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying he can't do that, but the chances of him doing that are pretty slim. Like, that's just not the player he is. When Draymond Green is his most effective, okay, and he was terrible yesterday, okay? Allow me a moment here, Cappy, okay?
Go ahead.
He was terrible, okay? There's no denying that, okay? But the Warriors... In this series particularly, and kind of in general, you saw it during the regular season too, when he was hurt, they weren't good. So they're going to live and die by him. And he, to this point, outside of one game, he hasn't held up his side of the bargain. But his play is absolutely directly correlated with the Warriors winning and losing at this point. He's the difference on a number of fronts. Offense is elementary. He needs to control the game. He's actually their best point guard. And he needs to get guys in there. Now, I don't want him shooting threes. And I know what you're going to say. Well, the Celtics are playing drop coverage, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're going to be in the, you know, clogging the paint.
That's exactly what I was going to say, by the way, George.
No, there's no way you were going to say that.
I was specifically going to say that the Celtics are playing this drop coverage. And as a result of that,
no
that's
chance
creating
that's
some problems. And those problems are not freeing him up for that
kind
of shot.
Do you want me to explain to you what drop coverage is?
Sure, go ahead.
Drop coverage is basically what I just said. It's basically that the big men sag closer to the paint, okay? And now, by the way, I'm going to get back to that in a second because I do think the Celtics are playing with fire when it comes to that, okay? But what I want Draymond to do is, the Warriors are at their best when the ball is just moving, okay? And I know Laker fans don't love Mike D'Antoni, but Mike D'Antoni used to have a great saying, the ball finds energy. And when you're whipping the ball around from the strong side to the weak side of the floor, it will beat the most defenders 99 out of 100 times. If you're moving the ball correctly and everyone is moving, particularly the Warriors, the way they do it, okay? The way they move off the ball and they're cutting and like they played some of the most beautiful basketball that I have ever seen when they were at their height. And this is pre-KD, okay? And so, but on defense, here's the thing that has stuck out to me. And I watched that game yesterday. And I decided to record the game yesterday for random, just randomly. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to record the game because I feel like this is a pivotal game. Game 3, 5, right? Those are pivotal games. So I watched it back today. And the first thing that stood out to me, beyond obviously the Celtics bleepery with the whole stuff with the basket and the Warriors coming out cold, Draymond Green on defense was overhelping. Do you know what that means, Cappy?
Tell me.
He's cheating. He's cheating off his defender. And instead of, he's taking poor risks. So basically what the Celtics did was, their big adjustment in the game was to attack Curry, particularly as a primary defender. Hence why Steph had two quick fouls early. Now, they kind of went away from that, which is weird, but whatever. But more specifically, not just Curry, they went at Green too as the help defender. Because he saw Steph was in foul trouble, he started cheating. So they made him pay every time he cheated. The Celtics in the first two games saw that Green was cheating and they started attacking the ball handler in the mid-range. So basically when the defense collapsed, let's say Jason Tatum, he's driving, right? Like he's bringing up the ball and he's kind of, he pretends like he's going to drive into the paint for a second, okay? Like he's dribbling, hard dribbles into the paint, and while the defense collapses on him, because of course he's Jason freaking Tatum, right? Or Jaylen Brown, whichever one. All of a sudden, the defense is out of rotation because too many people came to help, but particularly Draymond, of all guys, cannot do that. And he's done this in a bunch of other series. The other teams just didn't make him pay for it the way these guys can because of their athleticism and because of their great ball movement as well on offense. So,
wow, dude, that was really, really hardcore.
Yeah, so let me finish real quick.
Oh, you're not done. Keep going.
So when Jason Tatum drives into the paint and the Warriors collapse, particularly Draymond cheating off of his guy, all of a sudden that gets the ball for the Celtics moving around the perimeter, driving, kicking to the corner, swinging it one more time, swing again. And that means the Warriors defenders, because they're already out of position, are trying to play catch up and you can't. And the Warriors used to be the team that could do that to every other team. Right now, Cappy, the Celtics are out-warrioring the Warriors. And the way that the Warriors can try to mitigate that is Draymond just has to trust the defensive scheme and not cheat. To me, that is the biggest adjustment Draymond Green can make.
Whoa. Whoa. I am digesting all of that. That's hardcore, like I said.
I mean,
hardcore.
If I had a telestrator, it'd be easier to show.
Oh, my God. If you had a telestrator, forget about it. That would be incredible. I mean, that was hardcore, George.
Did you follow with any of it, or did you just all go over your head?
First of all, I want you to know something. I was completely locked in, focused, and concentrating, literally on the edge of my seat, biting my fingernails, listening so intently to what you were saying. I thought, now, you're an insider, I'm an outsider. I thought it was very simple. I thought that Draymond got in Boston's head. He's pushing guys down. He's touching guys. He's pulling guys' pants down. He's in their head in game two. Game three, Boston's like, you know what? I'm not having that guy come here and punk me like this. I'm punching this bully right back in his face. And that's, to me, the very simplistic look at what happened versus the analytic look.
That's part of it. But the problem is the way they do that is they get him. Remember when he said in the press conference, I was out of rhythm. I wasn't having a good game on defense. All those, the reasons he's laid out, the reason he can't get in somebody's head is because he's blowing his assignments. So he's already in his own head. So that means he can't get in somebody else's head.
Well, then he's going to have to kick somebody in the groin. He's going to have to pull somebody's pants down. He's going to have to headbutt somebody. Something's going to have to be done here.
So like the Celtics drivers, which were basically like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they weren't really always looking for their own shots. Now, the Warriors' defense was terrible on the perimeter beyond Draymond, too. So, like, they were literally not giving them enough resistance, and there was a lot of easy layups at the rim, including to Marcus Smart, which you should never allow. But what I'm telling you is that what ended up happening with Draymond specifically was he was cheating. And every time he cheated, they made him pay by moving the ball and whipping it around the floor and finding the open guy, because then the Warriors had to play catch up.
So you mean to tell me that all the analytical breakdown that you just did is,
I mean, that's
why,
not really analytical. That's more like strategic.
Okay, well, this is why Draymond did not perform last night.
Correct. He cheated too much, and they finally made him pay for it.
You're not buying the whole it's his podcast thing, though.
No, it's stupid. No, it's so dumb.
All right,
let me go. I haven't talked to this man in a long time, and he used to call me when I was on in the morning with Key and Elsie the other time. Didn't always agree with me. I would say actually rarely agreed with me, but I always respected his thoughts. Dean and Duarte. Hello, Dean.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
What up,
good,
Dino?
Hey, George, there's a lot of goalposts moving right now between you guys on the station. Not just you, George, but the whole station in general. Coming into this playoffs, especially after the first two series, everybody was basically anointing the Warriors and giving Curry his props and all that kind of stuff. Now the scenario is when they're facing the number one defensive team in the league, he's old. Come on, man. The bottom line is they're just losing because the Celtics are better.
I started the conversation with the Celtics are better.
Yeah, the Celtics are just better. But you guys were anointing them a couple of weeks ago saying Golden State's going to win, blah, Steph Curry's going to get the fourth ring.
Did you hear me and John Ireland talk about that? Like, I literally picked the Warriors in seven. He said the same thing. And he asked me, do you feel good about it? And I said, not really.
Okay, not really, but you were still leaning on the side of the Warriors, though. And that's because everybody is so enamored with offense, and now you're seeing the number one defensive team who's going to – and, you know, I'm a Laker fan. You know I'm a Laker fan, George, but the Celtics are going to win this series. They're playing the defense. They're shutting Golden State down in the fourth quarter.
Dean,
Milwaukee – yeah?
The only way the Warriors win this series, okay – is if Robert Williams can't go because the series starts to shrink as far as time in between, and he's not as effective because he changes their defense in a big way. He's basically a 6'11 free safety. And the other thing they're doing, which I mentioned earlier a second ago, was the Celtics are playing with fire with this drop coverage. They're giving Steph is getting easy looks at 3-point shots.
Yep.
And now they let Clay yesterday get in a rhythm. That's where I think they're playing with fire, because if those two start to get into a rhythm, I think you give them a puncher's chance, is my point.
The Celtics have shown that they could turn their defense on when they get so motivated to do that. And they sat on Clay, they sat on Poole at various times.
Poole is unplayable.
On those two guys.
Poole is unplayable in this series.
Yeah, and so the Celtics have shown that they can take those two guys away and let Curry get his 30. And so it's all about defense, just like it was last year. Milwaukee was, number one in defense? The year before, the Lakers were number one in defense. And that's what it's about.
You're right. You got to play defense. But it's not like the Warriors were – it's not like the Warriors were chumps on defense. Dean, I got to run because we're up against it, but always good to hear from you.
All right.
I like what you're saying, though, Dean, moving the goalposts. You know, now all of a sudden he's getting old. I like it, man. Call us out. It's cool.
All right, guys. So we've been talking a lot about this whole golf live Saudi tournament situation lately. And once again, we've got Phil Mickelson in the news, but this is a very interesting / funny situation here. Well, I find it a little bit funny. So he met with reporters for the first time in 4 months yesterday, and it was super awkward. He had a press conference for the first day of the LIV tournament, and he started off the presser apologizing for the hurt that he's caused people, and he said that he doesn't want to condone human rights violations because that's, you know, one of the situations over in Saudi Arabia. He didn't say, though, exactly what he was apologizing for, and here's where things went once he opened it up for questions.
This is such bleepery.
Wrong one.
Although applicable
work.
As well.
Totally
I
works.
Believe.
Totally
I
works.
Could not. I was like, wait a second. Is this a big setup here?
Yeah, yeah. It is.
I thought both it was applicable. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's Phil, actually.
Yeah.
Phil, can you just clarify? You've apologized again just now. Can you just clarify what you're apologizing for? Is it you're sorry for speaking the truth about the Saudis? Or are you sorry for the shameless hypocrisy of taking their money anyway?
I understand that many people have very strong opinions and may disagree with my decision. And I can empathize with that. This is an opportunity that gives me a chance to have the most balance in my life going forward, and I think this is going to do a lot of good for the game.
Mm-hmm. So what are you apologizing for?
Phil, can you tell me if you are serving a ban or have served a
ban? I'm sorry, say again.
Can you tell me if you've served a ban or are serving a ban with the PGA Tour?
So nervous.
His mouth is so dry. Oh, my God.
Choose not to speak publicly on PGA Tour issues at this time.
Okay. Can you see if you're going to play next week's U.S. Open?
I will play next week's U.S. Open. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so, he continued to get grilled by reporters after that, and apparently he had enough of the tough questions, because during today's press conference, he had Alan Shipnuck, the guy who wrote that tell-all book about him, removed from the presser before it even began.
Yeah.
So, obviously, fills in like a very awkward, weird, whatever situation here, but should a pro athlete be allowed to have a journalist removed from a press conference just for doing their job? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. It's bleepery.
This is such bleepery.
Yeah. So it's just ridiculous. Look, here's what I would have done if I were Phil. Okay? Now, I obviously wouldn't be in his position. However, I mean, listen, to each their own, but just not for me, right? But I would have kept pounding the, hey, man, I have a gambling sickness. I've lost a lot of money. This is my best way to kind of recover from that. I know it's not ideal, but that I'm just apologizing for my behavior, and I'm apologizing for the way I've gone about the latter stages of my career. And that's what I would say. He tried to do the Andy Pettit thing. Remember when Andy Pettit was busted with HGH or whatever it was, or performance enhancing drugs, where he like apologized but never said what he apologized for? Like, he tried to pull that move, and people are just too smart. I mean, this is 15 years later or whatever the hell. You know, like, that's not going to work. And especially in England, where the reporters are even more vicious, I think, than they are here. Although I do like their accents when they
It sounds like they're at a press conference for Ted Lasso. And Phil Mickelson's like a real dude who has no idea how to answer these questions because there's not a publicist writing this for him. His mouth is super dry. He keeps having that thing that he does right before he speaks. Listen, I don't know. I didn't read that Phil Mickelson like had Shipnuck removed, because here's what I had read is that, and I saw the video, when the bouncers, the security guys came over to Shipnuck and he said, "What do you mean you're kicking me out?" And they're like, "Our boss said you have to go." Is Phil Mickelson the boss? Is it Greg Norman?
Well, it was
Norman?
Allegedly Greg Norman. Right. And then he texts Greg Norman, and Greg Norman said, "Oh, I don't know anything about it." And when you see the pictures, Greg Norman is literally standing behind the reporter.
Right. So they're kicking this guy out because this is the guy that got Phil to say all the stuff that got him into all this hot water. And now here's Phil playing for this Saudi-backed LIV Tour. And guess what? Here's the guy who wrote the tell-all book that, as far as I know, is not even out yet. And they don't want him covering their event. So they're booting the dude. That's precisely what Mickelson was talking about, which was, hey, you know, they killed that reporter. Like he kind of blew it off.
Right. And again, like, this is the idea is, or the reports are, that like Phil's behind his removal. So I just think that, you know, I think the guys over in the UK, because this is going on in London, it seems to me, especially after looking at this press conference, I know that this is a very, like, hot topic right now, but I feel like they're a lot more, like, hardcore as far as, like, getting down and dirty with, you know, the questions with the athletes. Like, I feel like that's something that you would not hear anybody ask if it were over in the U.S.
Probably not. All right, what do we got? What's next?
All right, so a teacher who posts videos of himself shirtless and doing TikTok dances says that he's been placed on leave from his job because of his videos. The guy's name is Christian Sherrod, and his TikTok is X IIVN, if you want to follow him, Kepi. He said that a bunch of Karens called his superiors and told them about his, quote, thirst trap TikToks. So this guy has like 565,000 followers. And he posts videos just about like teaching, his personal life, like some motivational stuff. And commenters on Sheerhud's videos had mixed reactions once he announced that he was being placed on leave. Some people were sympathetic towards him. Others think that he shouldn't be posting shirtless on TikTok because he's a teacher. So do you guys agree with the Karens who complained? Swipe left or swipe right, Kepi?
I'm going to say that I'm going to swipe left and disagree with the Karens because I'm just now looking at this guy on TikTok. First of all, this guy looks like he's about 25 years old.
Yeah, he's super young.
Super young.
He's got earrings in both ears. He's got an earring in his nose. He's got tattoos all over his upper chest and his neck. So to me, you understand that you're hiring a guy who's a teacher who looks like a student. So he's a young person. He uses TikTok as a way to communicate. And so he's got all this art all over his body. He's got to find a place to show it off. You know, I got to tell you, I just don't have a big problem. Like, teachers, do your thing in your real life. And if your students follow you or people get offended because, ooh, you're a teacher, you should be at a higher standard. Yeah, I'm just a regular guy. Just a regular dude.
I just think this is silly. Like, if he's not doing anything, like, first of all, he couldn't do anything X-rated because it wouldn't be allowed on Instagram. So let's start there, right? But if you're saying that he's doing something racy, I don't know.
George,
like,
I'm watching a video. He's riding a skateboard with no shirt on, and he's doing a selfie video, you know?
It's nothing that you wouldn't see if he were, like, hanging out at the beach or working out. Like, it's totally normal stuff, literally nothing.
Okay, I'm the wrong person to have this conversation with because I feel like this country is ridiculous about, like, stuff like this. Like, man, you go to other places in the civilized world, and they don't care at all about stuff like this. Like, they look at us like we are weirdos. Like, dude, it's a human body. Like, just let it roll. It's all good. You know what I mean?
Guy, like, this guy hashtags on Twitter.
I think if you make and I'm a believer of, if you make things a bigger deal, it's worse in the long run, especially something so innocuous as this. And I'll give you the prime example. When I was growing up, okay, I grew up, I had a bunch of friends. There was this one girl, okay, who, really pretty girl, really smart girl. Her parents were the strictest. I'm talking about, like, forget about strict. I mean, I'm 44 years old. Forget about strict for the 90s, okay? I'm talking about strict for the 60s, okay? Like 50s. Like, they were that kind of strict. Let's just say when she was old enough to go do what she wanted to do, her parents, I'm sure, were appalled, okay? Because that's what happens when you restrict people from just being normal, you know?
Dude, you should see this guy's TikToks. He is so funny, and so many of his TikToks are in the classroom, and I guarantee you he uses it to
bond with his students.
Exactly. I guarantee you that the kids think he's the best teacher,
right?
And they probably react to this guy.
And they probably learn because they like him.
And they pay attention. Laura, what do you think? Yeah.
Okay, so I used to teach, and we were told not to share Instagram or anything like that with the kids, right? I taught high school and stuff. So I can respect that. But kids are going to find you. Kids are just going to look for you and find you. It's up to you. Like, I never interacted with my students. That was just a rule for me. I interact with some of them that graduated. But I had teachers that had social media, and they added us or whatever when we added them. They just knew what to post and what not to post. Like, I had pictures of, you know, whatever. You guys follow me on social media. It's nothing crazy. Or teachers that had...
Late Night with Laura.
Yes, but, you know, anyways, that's a whole other situation. But I had teachers who had, like...
Now that you're booed up, is Late Night with Laura still a thing?
Yeah, he was there last night.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
Oh, I missed Late Night with Laura last night. Damn it.
And he didn't have an emoji
face. Watch the replay.
Really? Can I watch the replay?
No, no. But what I was going to say is my teachers had, like, pictures at the beach. You know what I mean? And it wasn't a big deal. And I was like, this was 2006. I graduated in 2006. Yeah. Like, why is it a big deal now in 2022?
So who cares?
I don't know, but this guy's got this one video where he's not wearing a shirt and he's really ripped and he's doing like very light arm curls.
This is such bleepery.
But he's got videos that's on it. It says, this is a fitness video. Like, so he's already defending himself because I know I'm a teacher and I'm tatted out and I got earrings and a nose ring and I know you're already making a judgment about me. But man, it's just a fitness video.
Yeah. All right, we got to run because our boy Blake Harris is going to join us to talk Dodgers. Dodgers got a big win today, and there was a lot of shenanigans and bleepery there, too, for that matter. Let's get to some of that with Blake next. Blake Harris is our Dodger insider. You can find his work on Twitter, at Blake Harris, TBLA. And, of course, subscribe to his Substack. You support him. We support him. If you support the show, support Blake and his work at his Substack. So go to Substack.com and search Blake Harris, and you will find his work there. All right, so the Dodgers win today, Blake, and in one of the strangest things I've ever seen in a ball game. And look, I feel like we have these conversations at least a couple times a year where it's just like, what the hell was such and such thinking in that scenario? But in this particular scenario, so I'm going to try to paint the picture here with Tony La Russa and what happened with the White Sox and Justin Turner. So Tony La Russa, the White Sox manager, intentionally walked Justin Turner when he was already on a 1-2 count with two outs. Subsequently, once he gave him the free base, Max Muncy came up and hit a 3-run home run to make it, I believe, 10-5 at that point. La Russa was asked about it after the game and said to the media, does anyone in this room think we should have pitched to Turner? And I'm kind of like, bro, you already had him on a 1-2 count. Like, I'm okay that the Dodgers won, obviously, but I felt like that was like the weirdest stretch of baseball I've seen all season. What did you make of that as you were watching it in real time?
Yeah, you know, they say every time you turn on a baseball game, you'll likely see something you've never seen before. We've seen players, you know, get intentionally walked, you know, when they're like behind, or when, you know, the pitcher's behind 3-0 in the count, they just want to put him on. But I don't think I've ever seen a hitter behind in the count 1-2 with two outs in the inning intentionally walked to bring up Max Muncy. Now, I get Max Muncy, you know, he's been on the IL for a couple of weeks. He's been struggling this season, but he's not a major league pitcher up at the plate. I mean, I could get behind it if it was a pitcher coming up, but you got a guy when he's going, he's one of the best power hitters in baseball. And you put a guy on who's, you literally just need one strike to get him out. And the fact that Max Muncy crushed a 3-run home run, he was obviously talking a bunch of smack to Tony La Russa when he was rounding the bases. I posted a thing on Twitter. Can't say that on the air, but he said some pretty bad words when it came to Tony La Russa. So a stupid move on the White Sox part. But again, the fact that Max Muncy made him pay and he was clearly so upset. I mean, that's got to be the most insulting thing, I think, when it comes to baseball. Someone intentionally walks the guy in front of you because he wants to face you. I mean, I'd be insulted. So I can't imagine how upset he must have been. So that definitely had to have felt good for Muncy, who, like I said, this was his first game back after missing about 2.5 weeks.
This is Muncy's first game back after being out for 2.5 weeks, right?
That is correct. That is
right?
Correct.
So if you're La Russa and you're thinking to yourself, who would I rather take my chances on, Justin Turner or Max Muncy? I guess La Russa makes this decision. Muncy, whether he's mad or he's energized or whatever, definitely that's the whole goal. I got to make him pay. He insulted me. Now I got to make him pay. But are you telling me that when La Russa asks everybody in the room, who thought I should have pitched to Turner? There's not one guy there who goes, Skip, it was a 1-2 count. Of course you pitched to him. Nobody could say that to La Russa?
Tony La Russa has had his problems throughout the last couple of years. It seems like essentially every White Sox fan I've interacted with does not want him to be the manager. He's had some very questionable decisions. But again, this has to be one of the strangest, weirdest, you know, stupidest decisions. And even if Max Muncy were to strike out, and, you know, the inning's over, it's still a bad decision. It's still a stupid call. So, yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 hours since it happened, and everyone's still trying to figure out why. And the fact that he doubled down on it, you know, like you said, following the game, like, is that a question? I had no problem with it. So does he think what he did was right? I guess when you hit your 70s, maybe you're not as bold as once you once were.
You tell him, Blake, young man, calling out the older guy. Good job, Blake.
It really was just baffling. Like, it just like, yo, you got two outs in the inning. You got two strikes on the guy. Like, what? It just didn't even, I don't know, man. Like, maybe if he was 3-2, you know what I mean? Like, okay. And to your point, if there was, like, a weaker hitter. I don't care that Max Muncy hasn't played in forever. Like, that, he's a pretty good hitter. You know what I mean? Like, that, it just was wild to me. Anyway, so you and I both had a conversation about Gavin Lux. Greg Bergman, who is the assistant program director on this station and the producer for Mason in Ireland, is in our camp on Gavin Lux's long-term viability. But what's happening now is, and I love it as a talk show host, I don't know if you get any of this, is he has a 4-for-4 game, and I get like, eat it, Sedano, Gavin Lux is good. So I don't, you know, over 162 games, I feel like I'll be proven right.
But Gavin Lux was pretty damn good today.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first four-hit game of his career. Also, George, I agree, where you say something and the second you're proven wrong, those mentions and DMs are just flooded. But like you said, a week from right now, you can look like the smart guy. But yeah, no, it was his first four-hit game of his career. And if I would have told you guys to place your bet on which Dodger would be the first to reach base five times in the game, I think you could have gotten some pretty good odds at Lux at probably 30-1 or something like that, because he was the first one to reach base five times. So he's had a pretty good season so far. Again, I know, George, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. He's not living up to expectations that were set for him when he was coming out of the minors. But again, you're asking him to be your number eight, your number nine hitter, and he's doing just that. And the crazy thing is, guys, after today's game, I know that batting average is for the Tony La Russa guys and for all the grandpas saying to get off my lawn, but Gavin Lux has a higher batting average than Mookie Betts does right now, and the exact same batting average as Freddie Freeman.
Didn't see that. I wouldn't have gotten that. I wouldn't have guessed that one at all. Hey, Blake, let me turn us over to the pitching staff for a second. Let's hear a little bit about what you know about Clayton Kershaw's return and what's being said about Walker Buehler's performance thus far, at least where we are now through 50-some-odd games.
So it looks like Clayton Kershaw is going to be returning this weekend. Initially, Dave Roberts said it was likely going to be Sunday, but it looks like today they came out and said that Saturday seems like more likely. So it looks like we'll be seeing Kershaw activated off the IL in 2 days. And also Andrew Heaney, he had his second rehab start with the OKC Dodgers tonight, and all looked well. I think he threw four scoreless innings. So the Dodgers could potentially be adding him back next week. So just like that, you're adding two key guys to the starting rotation. And yeah, Walker Buehler, I know we've talked about him, multiple times this year, and he just hasn't been the same pitcher. If you were to take out his one shutout against the Diamondbacks about a month ago, his ERA on the season is just below five. He has the lowest strikeout rate of his career, and he's just getting lit up. His fastball, which used to be his bread-and-butter pitch, I don't know what the average against it is, but it's got to be pretty bad because it seems like he can't get any swings and misses on that pitch, and batters just teeing off on him. So I know I said, let's get to June before I can give a bigger sample size, and now that we've seen him for 2 months, I don't know. I don't know if he was benefiting from the sticky stuff, in previous years, and ever since they took that away, he's just been struggling. But it hasn't been a good 2022 campaign for Walker Buehler. Like I said, aside from that one dominant start, he just hasn't looked good. And luckily for the Dodgers, they've had some other guys step up. But this is the guy that is your ace. You want him to be a top five, top 10 pitcher in all of baseball, and he's been anything but that this season. You can make the case he's been the Dodgers' worst starting pitcher so far in 2022, which really is crazy to say.
Blake Harris is our Dodger insider, joins us every Thursday at 5:45 here on the show. Subscribe to his Substack. Blake, just go to Substack.com, type in Blake Harris. You'll find him there. Support him just like you support this show, and follow him on Twitter, at Blake Harris, TBLA. One last thing for you about Walker Buehler. How surprised were you at the comments of Dave Roberts after his last start, where he did have his back, but also kind of called him out in the same breath?
Yeah, Dave Roberts, I mean, that's been the thing that, I've personally loved and what everyone's loved, over the years, is that he's a player's manager. He has the backs of all of his players. You rarely see him kind of ever, and that's the thing, too, where he didn't necessarily call him out, but since Dave's always, so nice about it, it kind of was interesting hearing what he had to say. Again, Walker Buehler is the ace of the staff. He's the guy that you expect to be taking the ball of game one in the playoffs. He's the guy you expect to be making a start in the All-Star game. And he hasn't lived up to the potential. I think Dave Roberts knows that. Walker Buehler knows that. And, Dave Roberts, he called it as it was. Again, he wasn't necessarily, completely, dogging on the guy, which he could have done. So I liked hearing what Dave Roberts had to say. Hopefully something like that is able to help Walker Buehler maybe wake him up a little. Maybe they're able to work on some things. But every now and then it's needed. Every now and then you need the manager to, be honest. And Dave Roberts was that. So I personally got no problem with it.
Blake Harris, our Dodger insider, every Thursday, 5:45 here on the show. Go subscribe to his Substack. Support him like you support us. Follow him on Twitter, at Blake Harris, TBLA. You're the man, brother. Thanks for hanging out with us.
A major shout-out to the best producer in the game, because Lindsay became a paid subscriber today. I'm looking at it right now. And
I've become a paid subscriber. Lindsay's a paid subscriber. Laura just got her first apartment, so we don't need her to get the,
I'm broke, bro.
She's struggling. But Cappy, what's your deal, bro?
I'm not a paid subscriber.
Yeah.
Why not?
Do it. You got money, bro.
You want to know why?
Why?
I don't support journalism.
Oh, okay. You're such- Honestly, Sedano is the one.
Blake, I mean, Laura,
I don't trust
sorry.
It, Blake. I don't trust it, man. I'm telling you, I don't trust it. I don't support
Cap,
it.
Cap is paying me with a lot of knowledge, and I think that is well worth $5.
So nice.
You tell him.
Let me
tell
make
him,
more
Balake.
Money, Blake, and I got you.
Yeah, there you go. Laura will support you when she makes more money, but Cappy's a cheapie. There you
no,
go.
That, and I don't want to. Blake, I feel like I get enough from your tweets. How about that?
You're so
I'll take it, Cap. I'll take
I'm
it.
Teasing. I'm kidding. Everybody should go do it since I don't.
Yes. Yeah. Way to lead the charge there, Cappy. All right, Blake. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Way to go, Balake.
Appreciate it. By the way, last segment, and of course this hour, Radio Tinder, presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. All right, back in 2 minutes with what you need to know, and, Cappy's boyfriend's back at it, and LeBron said something that kind of made everyone perk up a little bit. We'll get to all that coming up in just a second.